words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our loving Savior, Christ Jesus. Our text today is from the Gospel. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. This is our text. Around about this time of year in professional sports, especially pro football, the question arises among many football players, will I be cut from the team? Will I be cut from the roster? What are my chances of making it? Well, whenever we hear the words of Jesus in today's gospel, and of course in other parts of the gospel too, they seem a bit puzzling, quite harsh. In fact, they may even make us feel uncomfortable, but that perhaps that's exactly what is intended by our Lord and Savior. In effect, someone asked him, what are the odds? What are the odds? What are the chances of my being saved? And that's a question on the minds of a whole lot of people from time to time. It's a real gamble for some, depending on what religion, what philosophy they choose for their lives. Will I be saved when I die? Whatever will become of me? What are the odds of being there in heaven with God? And Jesus' answer seems to be the odds are rather slim. Doesn't it sound that way to you? If you put yourself into the shoes of this person, whoever he is, asking the question, you just might feel a bit panicky at this point. Oh no, what shall I do? What shall I do? We think about, on a rainy day like this especially, all of those people that were laughing at Noah and the doors were finally closed. And they're banging on the doors trying to get in, but to no effect. One thing we can do is deeply ponder the rest of what Jesus says in this gospel, because it is puzzling. You know, the master of the house locks the door. Jesus doesn't give us any reason why. We suppose it's because, well, no one else can come in. We are not told at all, but what makes the difference between those who enter before the door is locked? We might ask that question. What makes that difference? And those who are too late? We are not told, but the people locked out are indeed upset, and they are shocked and they are appalled. We ate and drank in your company. They thought they were close to Jesus. They thought they were entitled to enter the heavenly kingdom. After all, weren't they the chosen people of Israel? It was their right. What a shock for those people who thought so well of themselves to hear Jesus say to them, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And imagine how they would feel, in a sense, peeking in through the windows of heaven when they saw strangers and foreigners taking the places they thought were their own. People will come from the east and the west, Jesus says, from the north and south, and will take their place at the feast in the kingdom of God. How could God let that be? Why would God not let them in? When we who are so close to him, too close to this rabbi, are now rejected? Well, this is a very puzzling passage. How do we understand it? Maybe we can figure out this puzzle a little better if we imagine the kind of people Jesus meant for this to be heard. And then we can look into ourselves too and wonder just how we can heed its warning. We can guess at Jesus' audience by looking a little ahead to the 18th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. Jesus addressed, quote, those who believed in their own self-righteousness while holding everyone else in contempt. That's the audience. His audience would be the good religious people of that day who thought well of themselves and looked down on all of those who perhaps were poor beggars. Why, they didn't fit into the blessing, the favor of God if you were poor. And certainly those who didn't come to the synagogue at all, who reacted in ways that they didn't approve, who worked on the Sabbath day like this Jesus here. And the worst, those who were foreigners, those who were strangers, who would not be belonging to this special chosen group of people, those of enemy nations or religiously different from their own. Away from me, you evildoers, Jesus says to these good religious people instead of all that they had in mind. How shocking. Well, then, is it wrong to be religious at all, like these people are? Is it wrong to follow the laws of the Old Testament for those people? Is it wrong to try to do right? We have the commandments in the Old Testament. Is it wrong for us to follow those commandments, one after the other? Jesus said there are only two, love God and love your neighbor. Is that okay then to steal, lie? Well, that's not loving your neighbor, is it? Is it wrong to be religious? Wrong to try to do right? Is it wrong to seek to be saved? Wasn't it Jesus says those who seek to save their life will lose it? Of course, he was talking about this earthly life that we as Christians need to spend for the sake of others. Self-sacrifice. Is it wrong to want to even enter the heavenly kingdom? To be so heaven-minded that we're earthly, what is that saying? That we are so heavenly-minded that we are not on earth at all. We don't have any earthly sense at all in the general sense. Is it wrong to want to just be heaven-centered? Pie in the sky, by and by, is another phrase. In your mind, you are probably now forming an answer to those questions. From a preacher in a Christian church, you surely don't expect to hear that these things are wrong, do you? Hopefully not. Well, we can relax then, right? But don't relax. Don't relax. If you do, you will miss the point Jesus is making. People will come from the east and west and will take their place in the kingdom of God. Yes, strangers, foreigners, people who probably were not directly trying to enter the heavenly kingdom at all. Why them? Why not those who are so busy about seeking their own salvation? Well, think for a moment. A few minutes ago when we faced the question, what are the odds of my being saved? And when we felt some panic a little bit, we were really hearing it at Jesus' blunt answer. Where was our concern? Was our concern uppermost about ourselves? Maybe about 100% of us were thinking that when we heard Jesus say those words. Do we just want a comfortable security for ourselves so our salvation is nicely under control? That's exactly what Jesus' words will not let us have in a real sense. That's why Jesus' words would make us feel rather uncomfortable. Try to come in through the narrow door. In fact, he uses the word strive to come in through the narrow door, which is a Greek word that means struggle, work at. What is this narrow door? It sounds as if it's a guarantee of our salvation. And we as Christian Lutherans know that if we know the Savior, we know that we are saved. We are going through the narrow door, but be careful. This parable is a puzzle. It's a warning. An ancient Chinese proverb may help us a little bit with the idea of it being a puzzle. If you want a certain thing, says the proverb, you must first become a certain kind of person. That's like the Bible saying, be transformed in the renewing of your mind. But when you have become that kind of person, the proverb goes on, you will no longer be concerned for that certain thing. You already have it. Apply that to our puzzle. If you want yourself to be saved, if you're only thinking about yourself, worrying about yourself in heaven or not in heaven, you must first become a different kind of individual. But when you become that kind of person, you will no longer be worried, concerned about yourself being saved. It's all in God's hands. Now, this certainly is a very narrow door. We have to admit that. We can find another clue to our puzzle here in the story of the Last Judgment, back in the Bible in Matthew chapter 25. Here the Son of Man returns on the last day, and he separates all the assembled people into two groups, those that are called to inherit the kingdom of God on the right side, the sheep and the lambs, and those condemned to everlasting fire, everlasting separation from God, the goats on the left. What makes the difference? Jesus answers that very simply. We ate, we drank in your company? They asked. No. I fast twice a week. I pay my tithes to the church. Sorry. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Too bad. That's not it. That's not it either. Well, what is it? And there's the answer Jesus gives. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. You welcomed me naked and you clothed me. I was ill and you comforted me. I was in prison and you came and visited me. You have been concerned for others, not just for yourself. That's it. This is how all will know you for my disciples, your love for one another. Jesus says this narrow door is the door of love. God's love for you and your love for others. Isn't that exactly what he boiled the Ten Commandments down to? Loving God and loving others. That's the narrow door. And Jesus himself is the door that he loved us so much on his cross to lay down his own life in exchange for ours. His only concern was for us. And that love opened the way to eternal life in heaven just as surely as his grave was wide open on that third day. And a solid faith in him alone causes us to love others all the more. But notice that those who hear this wonderful news, this welcome into the kingdom, are very surprised. Lord, when did we see you hungry? We weren't thinking directly of you and of our salvation necessarily. People will come from east and west and be just as surprised at their being saved as those self-righteous people were surprised of not being saved because their own salvation was not their concern at all. They were concerned for others. And what about their salvation? My friends, God takes care of that. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, a gift, a surprise, freely given by God to those who are willing to forget themselves in faith-filled love. For the kingdom of God is not a social club. It's not a little in-group. Kingdom of God is God's love, reaching out through us, reaching out to all of God's creation. Through the prophet Isaiah, as we heard this morning in chapter 66, God says, I come to gather nations of every language. They shall come to see my glory. And the vision of the book of Revelation, after this I saw before me a huge crowd, which no one could count, from every nation and race, people and tongue. They stood before the throne and the Lamb, dressed in long white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, salvation is from God, who is seated on the throne, and from the Lamb. People will come from the east and the west, Jesus says. From the north and south will take their place in the kingdom of God. Does that really make us uncomfortable? Only if our heart is centered on ourselves alone. But as we forget about ourselves, as we enter Jesus' narrow door of love, the gathering of all the people of the world, foreigners, even our enemies, people of other churches, maybe other denominations, the prospect of their gathering into God's kingdom too, should indeed fill us with tremendous joy. For this is exactly what it is about. It is uppermost in our minds and hearts. Thy kingdom come. We pray it in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, not my kingdom. And our salvation, don't worry about it. Our salvation is from God. And now at the end, as Luther says of each one of the articles, what is our duty? Simply to thank and praise, to serve and obey Him. That's sanctification. That's transformation. Amen. The peace of God which passes all our understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ. Amen.